Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on April 29th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and of course, you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm usually not alone, and I'm hopefully not going to be alone today. Jackie Balestra is off doing something on the East Coast today, but we have a great guest host. Kelly Stroman is with us today. Kelly, how are you doing today?
Hi, Joe. I'm doing great. It's always good to be a Friday. And it's always nice to join you guys. I appreciate you asking me to fill in for Jackie. It's a compliment, and I take it very seriously.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I think it was after the fifth or sixth or tenth, I don't know, appearance on the show, we said, Kelly's a good guest. I wonder if she would co-host.
I love being on the show. It's always fun.
Well, we love having you as executive director of the Downtown Manhattan Beach Business Association. You do such a wonderful job, and you bring so many elements of the community together, the business community and the families together. It's just and of course with your association with the farmers market and everything you do with the, I guess you call it the DTMB. often. Is that right? Do you call it that?
It's close. Everybody mixes that up. It's technically the DBPA. So it's the Downtown Business and Professional Association. I hear all sorts of versions of the acronym, so I'll take it all. Downtown Manhattan Beach is all you need to know.
Okay, great. Well, welcome today.
Thank you.
And of course, we're going to talk about something very exciting today. This is something that, you know, people will see often if they're at the beach. They'll certainly see those planes pulling those banners, but you'll also see every once in a while you'll see someone flying an ultralight. And we're going to talk to some really exciting people that have a lot of experience with that. Kelly, who are our guests today?
All right. Our guests this morning are Marcy Klein and Henry Boger, a couple of our local sport pilots. Since her graduation from University of California at San Diego in 1987 with a BS degree in communications, Marcy Klein has dedicated her career to the reality TV genre. She is currently a member of the Directors Guild of America and the Producers Guild of America. She's produced, directed, and written for some of the most recognizable programs in syndication, cable, and network television, including Celebrity Boxing Eliminate Deluxe, Dr. Phil, The Swan, and The Insider. One of Marcy's talents is to tell stories, and when interviewing non-professionals, I can vouch for this, she was a way of making the subject comfortable in front of the camera, which makes for a more gripping story. Marcy has had numerous nominations and earned a Los Angeles Emmy Award for her work with the Blind Children's Center. Marcy has also received a Cable ACE Award for work with the Los Angeles Fire Department. Her early work aired at the Woman in Film, and Mill Valley Film Festivals. With over 20 years in the television field, Marcy is now telling stories for real people. She is the owner of Klein Creative Media and Beach Cities Drums, and most recently became a sport pilot through Pacific Blue Air in order to operate the drone legally. Henry Boger began his adventures in aviation over 25 years ago. He is certified by the FAA as an instrument-rated private pilot and certified flight instructor, as well as a master parachute rigger. Shortly thereafter, Henry went on to become a skydiving instructor with the United States Parachute Association. He has over 9,000 skydives, 6,000 of which were training jumps with first-time students. In addition to his experience as a pilot and skydiving instructor, Henry is also an aerial cinematographer, sky surfer, PADI, P-A-D-I, scuba dive master, and world-renowned base jumper. He is passionate about instruction, aviation, and adventure. This morning, we're going to discuss drones and the current regulations surrounding this popular pastime, and we'll learn a bit more about those ultralights we see zooming all around the South Bay. Marcy, Henry, welcome to the program. We're so glad you're here and you could join us this morning.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks very much for having us.
Thank you very much, both of you. This is a great show. We've never done a show on sports before because, you know, I didn't even know you were called sport pilots. Let me start with you, Henry. 9,000 skydives. You know, all I know from parachutes is parachutes and mines. Your mind and parachutes are very similar. They open better when they're better when they're open. That's the shit.
That's good, Joe.
I will agree with that.
That's as close as I've been. Henry, tell us a little bit about the world of sport pilots.
The world of sport pilots. Well, the sport pilot license is a new license that's come out by the FAA. And basically, in the old days, if you wanted to become a pilot, you would have to train and build your hours up. You'd have to do 20 hours of instruction and 20 hours of flight. For a total of 40 hours to get your private pilot's license. That would allow you to fly aircraft. What the FAA had found out in recent years, they've had a pilot decrease. People are getting their pilot's license, so they were kind of worried. So they invented this new license called the Sport Pilot License that cuts that time in half. So in only 20 hours, you can get your license to fly certain types of aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sport pilot license includes 15 hours of dual instruction and then 5 solo hours. You take your test, and then it's off you go.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that's primarily aimed at ultralights?
It's ultralights and anything in what's called a sport pilot classification of aircraft, which is a certain weight division.
Mm-hmm.
Ultralights are light aircraft, and then there's a weight limit that goes up called sport pilot, sport aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's any aircraft that falls into that weight category.
Right.
Not as heavy as like the Cessna aircraft that you see out there, a little bit less than that, but there's a number of aircraft that fall into that sport pilot classification.
This is very interesting. You see a lot of pilots these days with these aircraft. They're very popular, I assume. They're much less expensive than like a Cessna or something like that.
Much less expensive, yes. Easier to maintain. They're great aircraft. Very, very safe, great aircraft.
Right, that's fantastic. And Marcy, I have to say, how many thousands of skydives do you have?
Well, actually, I do. I don't even know if Henry knows, but I have one. And I was working on a TV show for
that's awesome.
Yeah, I was working on a TV show for INLA way back in the day, and with Chuck Henry when he was the host of that show.
Yeah,
come back, and Henry actually was supposed to jump, and he got injured. I'm sorry, not Henry, Chuck Henry.
Yeah.
Was supposed to jump, and he got injured, and so I got to jump because we needed someone to be in the video for the show.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I did a tandem once.
All right.
And I can't believe Henry's done 9,000 of them.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously believes they're safe.
Joe, have you ever skydived?
No, Kelly, I have not skydived yet. It is on my bucket list, I promise. I won't chicken out at least once. But Marcy, I can imagine some people, not me particularly, but in my profession of software engineering and software development, but some people are under a lot of pressure. They live very, stressful lives, and they need relaxation that is a little bit more extreme than others because they really need to clear their minds. And is that how you first got into piloting?
No, not at all.
Okay. Tell us about that.
No, in fact, the idea of becoming a sport pilot to me actually was very stressful and something I didn't think that I was actually going to be able to do.
Right.
Because, number one, I'm afraid of heights.
Okay.
And I'm also a mom, and so I'm a surfer too, and so even my surfing I do a little more conservatively now because I'm a mom.
Right.
But because I'm a videographer and I do a lot of real estate videos, one of the things I really wanted to incorporate into my business was the use of the drone. Mm-hmm. And, the drone takes beautiful aerial photos and videos. Mm. And once I realized that you have to be a sport pilot to do it legally, I felt like I had no choice. I had to become a sport pilot if I wanted to pursue this avenue.
Now, is that new, Marcy, that you have to be a sport pilot to fly a drone?
I believe it is. I think it was in 2014. Henry, am I right? Is that right? Was it 2014 started that?
Yes, to fly a drone commercially, you do. People, just kids out flying the drones obviously don't have to have a pilot's license, but if you're going to fly commercially, you do have to have a pilot's license right now.
Wow.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had drones and were doing this, were flying them commercially way before the FAA took a stand and said you have to be a pilot.
Right.
I think, and then, so in the past couple of years, it's become really strict.
Right.
It's become kind of in the public eye a lot more.
Right.
With them landing on lighthouse lawns and things like that.
Right. Well,
I have a question, Joe. And Henry, this is probably for you because you have a little more flying experience. But I'm going to kind of ask the obvious question that is burning in my brain right now is, okay, so I was thinking originally, sport pilot was what Marcy was just saying as far as flying a drone and what have you. You explained a few minutes ago that in the 20 hours you can also, become licensed to fly ultralight and other lighter aircraft. I'm sitting here thinking, is 20 hours enough training, really, to be able to safely fly? Yeah. I mean, a drone is one thing. It's very important to be safe. But an ultralight, when you're actually up in the air and then you're landing, that's a whole different thing. So is the 20 hours, what's your opinion on that as far as, cutting it from 40 hours to 20 hours to become licensed?
Yeah, it is kind of disconcerting to think people with 20 hours are just solo flying over Los Angeles right now. basically, I should say it this way. At 20 hours, you are eligible to take your exams. And the exams, it's a three-part exam by the FAA. There's a pretty extensive written test that you have to take. There's an oral test by an instructor where he asks you questions about your knowledge of aviation and about the aircraft. Mm-hmm. And then the third most important part is the flying test with him and prove that you can do the maneuvers and do the landings and all that. So I would say the minimum it required is 20 hours. Now, does anybody actually do it in 20 hours? It's pretty rare. Usually, I think actually Marcy was my fastest student, and I think you did about a little over 30 hours, didn't you, Marcy? Or?
Yeah, 30 hours, actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have some students that that are in the 40 and 50 hour range, and they're not ready to take their test. It's basically when you feel that you're ready, when you come up to the skill level where you feel like I'm ready to go take those tests by the FAA, and they're pretty extensive. They want to make sure you know what you're doing.
Right.
Then that's how you can do it.
So there you go. The minimum is 20.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little safer right now.
The world of aviation is changing radically. I mean, of course, drones add a whole new dimension to aviation in general. But when you think about what modern sort of pleasure aviation is about, and I consider what you do, Marcy, it's kind of pleasure aviation because you're also when you're working, you're focused on the artistic side of it, right? You want to get just that right shot of that house showing the neighborhood and the trees and all that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely – I mean, I love flying the drone.
Right.
Once I got my hands on it, it's super fun.
Right.
I mean, it's not without its stresses, too, because you are flying.
Right.
You know, you're up there and you don't want to land on anybody's head or hurt property or people.
Right.
But it is super fun and it is artistic and it's creative. I love it.
Do you, Marcy, have one of those, you know, and I know they're very inexpensive, but do you have one of those like $1 million liability policies that you have to have when you're flying just in case you drop a drone on someone's lawn and you break a blade of grass or something and they complain?
Actually, yes, I do. I haven't used it. I haven't used it at all, luckily.
Yeah.
But yes, I do have that, and it is quite expensive. And I even bought it before I was a licensed pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it, and it was much more expensive. And once I became a pilot, and also got my 323 exemption from the FAA, which is basically a document that says you have permission to fly legally.
Yeah.
The price of my insurance went down, actually.
Okay. Well, normally, I'm sorry, you said expensive or inexpensive?
It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive. I mean, let me take that back. If you are not flying for commercial purposes,
mm-hmm.
if you are just a hobbyist and you want to have insurance,
mm-hmm.
the Model Aeronautical Model Association, the AMA,
mm-hmm.
they have an insurance policy for flyers who are just flying for fun.
Okay.
If you're just taking it to the park to fly for fun and you're not being hired by anybody,
okay.
You can also get insurance. And I would definitely recommend that. I actually have that as well and had that before. I had a policy for my profession.
Can you give us an idea how much is that? How much is that kind of insurance?
When I bought it, I think it was $69. But a girlfriend of mine just got a drone the other day, and she said she just bought that insurance at $75.
For what period of time?
I think it's for a year.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not that bad.
And
I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, no, I'm used to liability insurance for events. I've been involved in several high-profile events with thousands of people. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, $2 million insurance, that's going to be really prohibitively expensive, and it wasn't really. It was like, you know, $300-$400, and for a big event, that's not a big expense. We have lots of other big expenses, but a $500 line item for a huge event with thousands of people is really reasonable for a $2 million liability policy.
Actually, let me rephrase that. The policy for flying the drone when you're a commercial pilot for $1 million liability is $1,000.
Okay.
It's $1,000.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering what the range was, and that's interesting. And also, now you have to start thinking hard about, yeah, I need insurance, but that's a nice size line item if you're just doing, you know, commercial shoots for realtors and things like that. You got to have a good business going there.
Yeah.
Marcy, I have a question for you. Have you heard back from, you know, real estate agents regarding the aerial videos that you do for like one of their beautiful, you know, properties? Does it help them sell the property any faster, any differently? Are they able to market, you know, obviously maybe outside of the area to people who would have to travel here to normally look at it? You know, what kind of benefits are the real estate agents getting from these beautiful aerial videos of the homes?
Well, the first thing that everybody really wants when they are interested in booking me is they want to show the relationship between, here in the South Bay, between the beach and their home. And they want to show the proximity. And what better way to do that than to, you know, start on the house and then slowly pan up the house and reveal the ocean, or vice versa. You know, reveal the ocean and then tilt down to reveal the home.
Mm-hmm.
So people are really – the main thing that they want, sometimes they just call me and say, you know, can we get a drone video of our house? Mm-hmm. They don't even realize that we could do the whole interior and show how beautiful the interior is as well. So people are really interested in the drone now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really think that it does help sell the house.
And, you know,
in fact, Go ahead, Kelly.
I was watching a video yesterday of one of the homes, and I saw the outside. You know, it starts looking at the house, it kind of pans to the beach or the sunset, and kind of goes around. It showed Palos Verdes, and then the interior of the house was being showcased. You know, the editing obviously of the video was so beautiful, but it felt to me like it was almost like the drone flying around the house, because it was the same type of, you know, movement. And I don't want to seem, you know, too naive, but I'm assuming it wasn't the drone flying low within the house. It was now like a video camera, you know, a high being used. But you know, how do you seamlessly transition from the drone going outside and then that kind of that same feel as you're exploring the inside of the house? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's different ways to do it depending on the equipment that the client wants to, you know, wants to invest in. You know, certain people want to spend a lot of money on their real estate videos and some people don't. So it depends who your clients are. But if you have a high-end client, well, you can actually fly the drone almost into the front door, and you can go fly into the front door. Drones do fly in the house. And if there's a big enough property, you could fly a drone inside.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have these cameras that's a camera mounted on it, what's called a gimbal.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's the same kind of movement. It's the same gimbal that's on the drone that is on these little cameras that you can walk through. You can basically hold it and walk through your house and get that same sensation as though you're flying. And that piece of equipment, it's like a balancing kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
it takes the shake out of your shot,
mm-hmm.
and it's called a gimbal.
Got it. Yeah, well, that makes sense then. Because I was looking at it, and I actually replayed, like stopped and replayed. And I'm like, I don't think that's the drone, because it was like going right over the kitchen counter. But I'm like, it sure does look like the same footage. So well done. I think it's fantastic how it's being done.
Yeah, but you actually can fly drones in the house.
Yeah.
And my drone actually has special sensors to avoid crashing while in the house.
Hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, Henry, you have perspective on this whole drone phenomena. I mean, you 9,000 skydives. You've been doing this a while. Unless you've been doing a skydive a day, that's just, you know, oh, I don't know, 10 years. How long have you been doing this, Henry?
I made my first jump in 1984. So
okay.
I've been over 30 years now.
Okay. So what do you think about the phenomenon? And give us your perspective on it. I mean, is it exploding, or is it, ginormous? Or how would you describe what's going on with the drone movement?
The drone market is definitely expanding. In fact, just flying my little aircraft around, I see drones in the air all the time.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, about 2 weeks ago, I was flying over Manhattan Beach, and I was up at about 2,000 feet off the ground, and I look off my right, and there's a drone out there.
Yeah.
And so, for me as a pilot, it does cause a bit of concern. Obviously, it's something I don't want to hit to damage, you know, my plane itself. And then flying down the coastline, I've seen drones flying out over the ocean. I've seen drones flying around Rancho Palos Verdes. So I've definitely seen a lot more drones than there were before.
When you think about the danger of these drones, I mean, obviously the FAA is really seriously looking at the danger to commercial aviation. Do you think it's also a similar danger to non-commercial aviation?
I think so. I think depending on the drone pilots, definitely if they do everything by the book and they stay in the altitude that they're supposed to stay, then there shouldn't be a problem. Most of the drone stuff we see is down low. It's under 500 feet.
Right.
And for us, that should be fine. It's when they get up, and the new drones they're making can go quite high now. They can go thousands of feet in the air. And I did hear about an incident at LAX a few months ago where it wasn't a commercial drone operator. It was just somebody with a drone flew the thing over LAX.
Right.
And of course, the FAA didn't like that. So,
does the pilot of a drone have an altimeter? Do they know what altitude they're at?
Yes.
Marcy, what do you say?
Yeah, they do. Well, on my drone, I do.
Yeah.
It's in my control panel.
Right.
And it's interesting. It's interesting that that Henry, that you were flying and you saw a drone at 2,000 feet.
Right.
And that, so obviously that's someone who probably was not trained, and is definitely not following the rules, because actually the FAA will only allow me at the highest level. I can only go 400 feet. That's the highest I'm allowed to go. And on a normal basis, I'm really only allowed to go 200 feet.
Mm.
And I have to get special permission to go 400. So this person who's at 2,000 causing danger is clearly a novice who should not be doing that. And I think that's the biggest danger, is that people who are not educated and are using them. And I don't know the solution to that. Really.
No, Marcy, we would often say whenever there was someone with equipment a little bit more mature than their skills, they have more money than brains. Because these drones that can go 2,000 feet are not cheap, and they're spending the money to have this great new toy, but they don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, my drone could go 2,000 feet as well.
Right.
But I just would not put it there, because that's not, you know, it's not needed. It's not appropriate. It's kind of crazy that was up there. And I worry about that too, because, you know, as I'm a mom too, and I'm flying, and I've got my kids in airplanes, and scary. It's scary for all of us, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to explore more about, ladies and gentlemen, this is the South Bay Show, and we're talking sport pilots and drones and all things related with Marcy Klein and Henry Boger. This is a very exciting subject. I think that a lot of people are interested. They're interested certainly as spectators, but I'll bet a lot of people are really ready to take the plunge, so to speak, not as a scuba diver necessarily, but they're ready to get involved. They want to learn more, or they just want their kids to get trained properly. So we're going to talk more about that as we go. Is that something, Henry, that parents should think about? If their kid says, mom, I want a drone, mom, I want a drone, well, should they be trained, and how can they best get that done for their kid that wants a drone and they want to get involved?
Wow. Yes, I definitely think training is important. I don't know about the extent of going to become a pilot, you know, for the children and all that. But, yeah, I'm sure there are training programs with these that to be associated with the drone program that would make them much safer, just basically learning the rules of what they should and shouldn't do and where they should fly it.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Wow.
Henry, is there any age limit requirement for someone to become either a sport pilot or a regular pilot?
Yes, it's 16 years old.
I'm sorry, how old?
16.
16, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I'm sorry, I just want to remind people, if they want to call in, if they have questions or comments, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Now, Henry, do you have a business? Obviously, you train pilots, and you train jumpers. Tell us about that business.
Well, Pacific Blue Air is a company that opened about 2.5 years ago here. We're based out of the Hawthorne Airport, and we offer instructional scenic flights around Los Angeles. And so normally we take off from Hawthorne, and my normal route is I usually fly over to Manhattan Beach and see the beautiful beaches. We fly down the coastline and around Rancho Palos Verdes and back up to Long Beach and back across the city. And so we offer instructional flights. So every flight that we do is an instructional flight. So everyone who goes up, I actually kind of teach them the basics of flying. I show them how to operate the aircraft, and we go over all the safety features, and it's just an incredible experience.
Now, you have aircraft that can take one or two people, or tell us a little bit about that.
The type of aircraft we have is called a weight shift control trike. And it is just a one plus one. It's the pilot plus one passenger is the maximum that they have.
Okay.
And so it's a personal experience. It's a very one-on-one experience with the people that we take up. But we do have multiple aircraft, and so if like a couple wanted to fly together, we would fly the two aircraft, and they can talk amongst themselves back and forth between the two aircraft.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. What are the prices, generally speaking?
Prices started at $175, and it all depends on how much time. We started 30-minute flights. We have an hour flight, hour and a half, two-hour flights. The aircraft themselves can stay aloft for up to 5 hours.
Mm.
They have a 500-mile range, so in theory, we could take off from here, fly all the way to San Francisco. We don't want to take the gas.
Mm-hmm.
So they're great little aircraft.
Wow, that's quite a range. 500 miles, you say?
Mm, that's right.
That's quite a range. That's an excellent commuting vehicle. There's been a lot of talk. I talked to a lot of people about real estate, you know, and of course the number one subject is Manhattan Beach expensive? And how can I live in, I don't know, Palmdale and have a mansion in Palmdale and fly into work without facing the 14 and all the other freeways. Do people commute, Henry, via these ultralight aircraft?
They do. It's fairly rare, though. But I use it all the time for that because there's a pretty big network of airports across Los Angeles. And, for instance, I live in Torrance myself, but my girlfriend lives in Claremont out by the Ontario Airport. And for me to drive it, it's an hour and a half, if I'm lucky. But she does have a little small airport next to her house, so I hop in the trike, I fly there, I'm there in 20 minutes, and right over the 5 o'clock traffic.
Oh, that's a dream for many people. That's 20 minutes. Oh my God, that's exciting. I don't know if people would be encouraged to do this every day, but maybe. Flying cars are coming, Henry, as you may know.
I can't wait.
They're coming. Marcy, when you think about your career, you have a fabulous career as a writer and your career now that you're doing, which is that a side business or is that a career? Is aviation kind of edging more than the 20%?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Well, it's becoming a larger and larger part of your activities on a daily basis, aviation?
Well, not completely. And people still want web videos, and not everybody needs an aerial shot in their web video. Although when they find out the things that we can do with the drone and showcase their business, sometimes people do want one.
Right.
But I mean, it is becoming more and more because recently I just did a roof inspection on somebody's roof. And inspectors have a hard time sometimes getting up on tile roofs,
right,
things like that.
Right.
And that's another really good use for it. So it's not necessarily in the video. I'm not making a creative video for somebody, but it's being a workhorse. And it's doing a specific job.
I'm sorry, that's fascinating. I just want to add, I have a friend who's a plumber, and one of the innovations he added was a camera on the end of his snake, so he can snake a drain, but it was often useful to use a camera to be able to look down the drain and be able to see where the issues were, and then he could measure how much of the snake came back. And he would almost know to the inch exactly where to dig for the problem. And that became a huge part of his business and on and on. Tell me more about that. That's fascinating. Roof inspections.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. I don't know how big it's going to become and how many people. We haven't started really marketing that yet, but we've tried it, and we know it works. And I think there is an interest in that industry. So the gentleman that I did the inspection for, he's in an association that has a bunch of home inspectors. And he said that the last conference they were at, everybody was talking about it. They had a whole panel just on drone inspections.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is something that's going to be really big. And depending on my, you know, the amount of work that I have, it may be something that I do completely a lot, or it may be something that's just on occasion. It's such a new field. I don't know where it's going to go yet, but I'm definitely open to it, and I enjoy doing it. It was fun.
Wow. Okay.
I think it's brilliant.
All about the fun.
What a brilliant tool. I mean, to be able to use it that way, just for somebody even personally, maybe, who thinks there's something going on up on their roof and they can't get up there, and, you know, you get a drone and you can see everything. I think it's brilliant. I'm sitting here thinking, as you guys are talking about this, going, you know, I wonder if appraisers will start using this tool also, Marcy. Have you had any calls from appraisers for maybe, you know, I know they pull up numbers and look at an area kind of in a finite way, but I'm thinking also, you know, an aerial view of the surrounding area of a home or property would be interesting for appraisers to use too.
You know, it would be really interesting. The thing is that because my company is such a boutique video production company, I do everything, including marketing. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm working, that's one of the things I need to get out more, is let people know and talk to people.
Right.
Well, there you go. I just gave you an idea.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. And I mean, because we started with the home inspector, you know, doing the roof, appraisers would be a great next step for me to contact. It's a lot of just phone calls and getting the word out, and things like this radio show are going to help with that. So I appreciate that, you guys.
Speaking of that, Marcy, we're all about, this is what we love to do, is to highlight new things and exciting things in the South Bay. Marcy, give us your website.
It's KleinCreativeMedia.com.
Okay.
And that's KLEIN, like Calvin Klein underwear. That's what I tell everybody. Read your underwear, and then you'll know how to find my name.
Right. KleinCreativeMedia.com. All right.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Calvin Klein actually has a daughter named Marcy Klein. She's also a TV producer. She works on Saturday Night Live, and I get tons of her email.
Uh-huh. Well, I love it. It opens with a drone shot.
Of course it does.
Of course it does.
Of course it does. KleinCreativeMedia.com opens with an awesome drone shot. That's beautiful.
Did you see my tagline, which says if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then video is worth 1,000,000.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
My little tagline. And can I get back to you? Remember you asked me a minute ago about, Kelly, you asked me about people who work on houses, who praise houses. One of the things that I've been using the drone for is some realtors who are considering buying commercial property and even residential property, they want to get an idea of if they have an ocean view. And so they've had me fly up to certain heights to see what you see at 20 feet, what you see at 40 feet, what you see at 60 feet. Mm-hmm. So they have an idea of what kind of view they're going to have, which is another interesting way to use it as a tool.
How accurate is your altimeter?
It's pretty accurate. It's pretty accurate, especially if you know where you start on the ground. You have to know what level what height you're at the ground, but then it starts at zero on the ground and goes to however many feet you are.
Right.
So if you're on a mountain, the mountain's going to be at 0 feet.
Right.
It's not going to be at, even though you're really 1,000 feet up or whatever.
Right.
It's going to start at zero. So you know however many feet you are from your starting location. It's pretty accurate.
I can tell you right now, Marcy, that, you know, one of the things that is difficult for builders is when they're building a large development, they can predict the sun patterns. They can predict, you know, all kinds of views of the, but they cannot predict the view as well. And if they could say, the altitude at different, you know, levels of the property that's going to be built and have that on the video as well, that would be something that they would really be interested in doing. All exciting stuff.
Yeah. In fact, I've done it and they've loved to see it. And I can do a whole 360 degree video or take still photographs. And, you know, I can do anything. Do time lapse. I mean, it's an amazing tool, this drone. I mean, I really think it's a great invention.
Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the drone show, the South Bay Drone Show.
They actually have a TV, a little web video show called that.
Oh.
Just FYI.
I'm not surprised. This is exciting, Henry. This is the exciting world of drones. Tell us a little bit, what's your website, Henry, for your business?
My website is Pacific Blue Air, L.A.
Air, L.A.
LA like Los Angeles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Henry, how booked out do you get? How popular are, you know, your ultralight flights and kind of slash lessons?
I have a flight coming up at about 9 o'clock this morning at 9:30, so I'm pretty booked up. Usually we do about during the weekday, I'll do probably four or five flights a day, and then the weekends can get pretty crazy, obviously, and so we'll do up to 12 flights a day on the weekend. And, of course, summertime is really busy now.
And this is an open aircraft, correct? Like, is there a little, whatever, kind of, you know, cage? I mean, it's open air, right? So you're flying with the bugs in your teeth and everything.
Fully open air, yeah, well. Well, you do have helmets with a face shield on, so no face in the seats. But it is open air, but we do have a really secure seatbelt system. Obviously, it's a 4-part harness that we clamp you in, so you're not going anywhere.
No, of course. And I'm just thinking temperature-wise, which, of course, we're blessed in this area with having beautiful temperatures. You know, my favorite show growing up was The Jetsons. I'm having, like, my little Jetsons fantasy here of getting in an ultralight and, you know, in the hover car that, you know, Joe mentioned, and getting up and, you know, going to Malibu or whatever in your little ultralight or hover car, whatever is going to be the future. Henry, what do you see as the future? What's next in this arena of sport piloting and ultralight and drones? What do you think is next?
I just see the market getting bigger and bigger all the time. I'm the only one actually in California that flies these kind of aircraft and offers what I offer. I actually got the idea from, I have friends that do this exact same business in Hawaii in Oahu on the North Shore, and they've been running for 17 years now and all. And so when I was flying with them 4 or 5 years ago, they said, why don't you try this in LA? I'm like, I guess I should. So that's why we opened 2.5 years ago here, and everybody seems to really love it.
Right.
And on that note, actually, Kelly and Joe, I would love to offer both of you a complimentary flight if you would ever like to come out and try it.
Uh-oh.
I'm there. I've always wanted to do this. And it's funny, you said you started 2 years ago. I remember, you know, sitting on the beach one day, seeing this, like, you know, large bug fly over, and I'm like, what is that? And I'm looking, going, what in the heck? And it's, you know, not a helicopter. It's not. I'm looking, and I'm like, it's not a hang glider. And then that was, I think, probably right when you started. I remember looking at it, going, what? Oh, that's not that. There's no way that can be, you know, legal or whatever. Not that I'm a police officer, but I was like, what is that thing? And then, of course, you start seeing them more. And I think I saw somebody post on Facebook, so I became more and more aware of it. And now here we are today. But so you are the only person and company in California that does this?
That's right. We're the only one.
Wow. Really? Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic for you. And B, I'm surprised, though, because that's such a growing, the ultralight movement is huge around the country, isn't it?
It is huge. And the aircraft themselves are incredibly safe. I mean, I have a the way that they're built insanely strong. A normal aircraft like a Cessna will have a G rating of about 3.5 Gs force on the body and the wing.
Yeah.
Our little aircraft will withstand plus 6 Gs. So they're just crazily overbuilt.
Right.
We also have a ballistic parachute system on ours. So in case there was any kind of problem, I pull a handle, a giant parachute comes out, and we and the aircraft float down safely.
Right.
So they've gotten incredibly safe. They're awesome aware.
Now, Henry, I have to ask if you could extend the invitation to my normal co-host, Jackie Balestra. The three of us, that would be an awesome time. Do you have three aircraft? Can you go three at a time?
We only have two at a time right now,
okay,
but I'm working on getting that third aircraft.
Well, maybe serially then. I'd like to include Jackie so she could go up. She's never been.
I would.
Would you?
I'd be happy to. Be happy to, yes.
Wonderful. Well, Kelly, you and Jackie and I, we need to do this.
Oh, I can hardly wait. If it wasn't the sound issue, it'd be so much fun for you and Jackie to host the show from up in the air. But I know there's a sound issue. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
We'll be able to pull that off. We can try.
Yeah. I think you guys could pull that off. I think you could pull it off.
Because you can have a cell phone on a headphone set. You're right.
Yeah, we can. We have an intercom system that we talk back and forth all the time.
Right.
And we could wire sound into that, no problem.
Okay.
And I can tell you, I'm happy to fly the third plane if anyone trusts me. Me and my buddy Alex.
Mercy.
I get dibs on Henry.
I'm sure you do, Kelly. I'm sure you do.
I'm kidding.
No, I think it's fantastic. We're going to make a media extravaganza out of it, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, I've actually taken one guest up. So yeah. I have taken somebody, a lay person, I call her.
Yeah.
And she trusted me completely, and I'm here to talk about it. So.
Yeah.
Marcy, I trust you. And if you have kids, I have kids. I trust all moms with kids, because you're not going to do anything crazy, right?
Exactly. Although, we took up Mayor Aspel.
Yeah.
And he was willing to go up with me, but I made him go with Henry instead.
Yeah.
Because I thought Henry's so experienced. I love going up with Henry. He's an amazing pilot. He's really good at communicating.
Yeah.
He's a great teacher. And he made the whole ultralight thing such a positive experience for me, especially because I was really terrified at first. I really didn't think I could do it.
Now, Marcy, we have to explore this issue with you a little bit more. Did you say you were originally afraid of heights?
Yeah, I don't even like to go on real airplanes, big airplanes. So these little ones, I've done it for work, and I've been on, as a TV director, I've been in helicopters doing helicopter shots. And it's really a cool experience, and I just kind of put my fear aside because I know I'm doing a job.
Right.
And in this situation, I kind of had to do the same thing, although I was okay with flying with Henry, because I know I trust him. He's so talented and so safe. But trusting myself flying, that's the thing that really, really, I did not think was even close to possible.
Mm-hmm.
At first,
wow.
Because it's flying up, you have to solo,
right,
in order to become a pilot.
Right.
So next time we get in an airplane, a helicopter, an ultralight, we need to put our fear aside and ask the pilot, do you trust yourself? Make sure they're comfortable with themselves.
But the thing is, Kelly, I trust myself now, but at first, during the process, for the first about 11 hours of training, I think I was in this fear zone.
Sure.
I didn't even really absorb anything about what I was doing. And after 11 or 12 hours, something kind of clicked with me, and all of a sudden I go, okay, can you start teaching me everything again? Because now I'm ready to learn. I didn't learn anything before.
Right.
Be that long to get comfortable.
That adrenaline is pumping.
Right.
Henry, do you remember your very first flight, your very first solo flight?
Oh, I did. I did it at the Van Nuys Airport, and I was terrified. And, my flight instructor was in a normal airplane, but my flight instructor didn't tell me I was going to solo that day. I just showed up at the airport, and he said, let's just fly around the pattern a few times. And so I did that, and all of a sudden we stopped, and he just hopped out. He goes, okay, go do it by yourself. And I'm like, whoa. So that first time you're up by yourself is quite memorable. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Henry did the same thing to me, by the way.
Of course he did, because he was taught well.
You're my star pupil, Marcy.
What fun. Now, we have a caller.
Oh,
I just want to include them real quick. If Kelly, what were we going to
do? Yes. No. There's a caller, you said?
I think, let's see, last four digits, 5066. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
Very good.
Hi, Jackie.
I'm on my way to the airport, and I'm listening to the show. Thank you for including me in that invitation. I couldn't
welcome,
let that
Jackie.
Go by. Thank you very much.
Have you been up in an ultralight before, Jackie?
I'm sorry?
Have you been up in an ultralight before?
No, I haven't. I've been up in a hot air balloon, and I've been up in a glider, but I've never been in an ultralight.
All right. Well, then this is our chance, the three of us.
All right. You guys get going. I'm literally walking into the airport, so you know, thank you, and great show.
Bonne chance.
Safe travel.
Great flight.
Okay,
yes.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
Jackie.
Bye-bye.
Well, okay, it's official. She wants to do it. I don't think she's thought about it yet, but that's okay. We're doing it. You were going to say
something. I'm going to say Jackie's stuck in my plane.
You're right. I'll give her
go on, Henry.
She's going on vacation. She's not thinking straight yet. So,
do you guys, Marcy, do you, you know, or Henry, do you guys use the drone technology to capture event footage? You know, like there's always a lot of events in the South Bay and around. And do people, you know, hire you to kind of, you know, go up and capture an aerial view of, you know, a big event?
Well, you know, there's different kinds of exemptions. And, you know, I did this all by myself, you know, tried to figure everything out, what I needed to get. And one of the things I did not ask the FAA for is I did not ask them permission to cover events unknowingly. And so I have now that I got my exemption back, and it excludes events right now.
Okay.
So I have asked for an amendment to include them, and I'm waiting to get that back. Because the process for getting an exemption and getting permission is very complicated. And unless – if you hire a lawyer for a few thousand dollars, you can get everything that you can imagine. But I did not hire a lawyer. I just did it all on my own. And so, but once I get that exemption, I am going to definitely let everybody know that I'm going to be available for events.
Right.
But until then, I can't do that legally yet for hire.
Right. Right. Well, and it's nice to hear that it is highly regulated, because we don't want, you know, anybody just, you know, putting up a drone just to capture something, too. I know we've dealt with that before in downtown Manhattan Beach with a lot of the events we have here, and now it's being more regulated. So it's nice to hear that it is regulated, and I can hardly wait to get, you know, the proper exemption cleared so we can have you film some events.
Right.
Yeah, well, that would be great. Well, you know, just so you know, hobbyists are allowed to fly. They don't really have the same restrictions. It's actually kind of funny the way it's set up right now. Hobbyists actually have a lot more freedom than professionals. And I think that the FAA is working on trying to change that, because the main thing is safety. It's all about the safety, right? It's the most important thing. And, of course, not intruding on anyone's privacy, which I don't really think is really an issue. But I'm curious to see what happens in the years to come as to how the FAA changes the rules. I think they worked pretty quickly to get some sort of guidelines in place, but I see them changing all the time. And it's actually really hard to keep up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think hobbyists, an example, hobbyists are allowed to fly within 3 miles of an airport if you contact the airport that's within the 3 miles, where a professional has to stay 5 miles away from the airport.
Interesting. That seems kind of backwards, but I'm sure that will morph as time goes by. Yeah.
Kelly, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to tell us what's going on around town.
Oh, thank you, Joe. I'd love to always have plenty to share. Downtown Manhattan Beach is hosting its triannual, we have them three times a year, spring sidewalk sale. It starts today, goes through Sunday. Normal hours are to be in effect everywhere, but all the retailers downtown, you know, bring out all their early spring merchandise, anything, you know, lingering from winter, on sale anywhere from 20% up to 80% off. You can snag really good deals. So I encourage everybody to come down starting today and you know, walk around, enjoy, have lunch, and, you know, kind of cruise all the sidewalks and see what's out there. There are some new stores to be found, but there's plenty of good finds and good deals out there. So that's today through Sunday. There's a couple other things. Tomorrow, Saturday, is Independent Bookstore Day. So as you know, we have our much beloved little independent bookstore called Pages in downtown Manhattan Beach. I think it's the only one really in the South Bay. And they are hosting an event tomorrow starting at 11 a.m. They'll be giving away free books. There'll be story times. They're welcoming Madonna Rosenfeld, and she'll share her novel, The Americans on the Kwong. Crash of the Rhinos will be there, and there's going to be a lot going on at Pages. So I always encourage people to, you know, to read, obviously, and have fun and use books as not only, you know, for school, but as enjoyment and gifts, too. So tomorrow's Independent Bookstore Day. Come out and support Pages. And then, of course, we have Earth Day. All the Earth Day celebration for Manhattan Beach will be in Pollywog Park on Saturday from 11 to 4 p.m. Joe, you told me earlier that you're going to be there. Yeah, that's exciting. And, you know, Earth Day is really a wonderful way to celebrate the Earth and to learn more about how we can be more environmentally friendly. So there's going to be a lot of vendors there. There'll be food. There's entertainment. There's activities for the kids and always creative ways to recycle and learn about the environment. There's a free e-waste recycling so you can, you know, collect all your cartridges, batteries, and what have you, and take them to the event tomorrow and leave them behind. If you want document shredding, they'll have free e-waste document shredding going on up to, I think, 3 big boxes, and anything over that costs $5. So tomorrow at Pollywog Park from 11 to 4 p.m. is the Earth Day celebration. Sunday, is the first birthday anniversary of the new Manhattan Beach Library, believe it or not. That beautiful library that's downtown on Highland will be celebrating on Sunday. Their celebration goes from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., and obviously they'll have all sorts of events for the family and the kids, so we encourage everybody to come down to the library on Sunday. And then I'd be remiss not to mention that Mother's Day is just a week away, and always a good time to start thinking about making your brunch reservations, ordering those flowers for mom. And I want to mention a special offer that's taking place at Roberta Coin Jeweler. It's one of our newer stores in downtown Manhattan Beach on Highland. It's a beautiful jewelry store. And they are giving away a beautiful diamond necklace on Mother's Day. And all you have to do is go into the Roberta Coin boutique anytime between now and Mother's Day and, you know, register for the event. And it's called Measure Your Love for Her in Diamonds by the Inch. So they're giving away this beautiful kind of long droop necklace diamond that you can register to win for Mother's Day. So anyways, get out and shop, fly. We're going to change our slogan, Henry, to shop, dine, play, fly, and stay.
I love it.
Bye bye.
Sounds great.
Bye bye. That's great. That's fantastic. We are just a minute out from the end of the show, Henry, and I have to say there is so much here. There's so much for people to get involved with. Let's just give that contact information again, Henry, for Pacific Blue Air.
Great. Yeah, it's our website is PacificBlueAirLA.com, and the phone number 310-570-9390 is the number to call.
Okay. And Marcy, give us the contact information for Klein Creative Media.
It's KleinCreativeMedia.com, and my phone number is 310-990-4120.
There's nothing more fun than highlighting businesses like yours. The two of you are doing such creative and interesting things and in such high-growth fields. And there's so many aspects to what you do, Marcy, both creative and commercial. And, of course, Henry, we're going to take you up on that offer.
That's great. I look forward to
it. I'll videotape the whole thing.
Awesome. I know, Kelly, you're in.
I'm in. I'm going to go up on a Friday at 8 a.m. with Henry, and I'm going to call into the show. Go, woo!
Thank you so much. What a great show. What a great time. Everyone have a safe and happy weekend. And, of course, come to Pollywog Park tomorrow and celebrate Earth Day and find out how you can save the planet, your little corner of the planet at a time. So there you go. Thanks so much, Kelly Stroman, for being my guest host today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. All right. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you soon. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.